This is Kate from ConversationsWithKate.net, inviting you to improve your listening comprehension by listening to my conversations with guests from all over the world. I created this podcast for English language learners who want to feel comfortable in English conversations for business, travel, or pleasure. By listening to real conversations between me and a native or non-native English speaker, you will improve your understanding of different English accents, connected speech, and you'll learn interesting things about people, language, and travel along the way. My goal is to connect cultures through conversation. We'll improve understanding of our world and each other. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 63. My sister Kirsten is back, and we're talking about books and how reading can help us understand things otherwise inaccessible to us. It's been over a year now since I started this podcast. I'd like to know if it's helping you understand conversational English. I invite you to send comments and leave a review as I think about the future of this podcast. And now listen in as Kirsten and I talk about reading online versus reading a book.
I read voraciously in the morning because there are so many bloggers or just the daily thing in the email that I love to read, and that really inspires me. So I can barely put my phone down and say, okay, I've got to get up now and get breakfast or whatever. So it's not that I don't read. I just don't sit down with a book and read. You know, I read a ton of information every day, so I'm happy with that.
But, you know, there's no way to measure that, really, because the screen time is your social media and anything you might be reading that's really valuable information. But if you finish a book, it's so satisfying. Wow, I read this whole book, especially if it's something you can hold in your hand.
Yes, I understand that, too. And I also understand the grieving that happens when you put a book down and it's over. It's like,
oh, if you loved it, yes. I've had that only with a few books, really. Mm-hmm. All the Light You Cannot See.
I was just going to say that one.
And The Secret Life of Bees. I just didn't want that to end, and I grieved because I didn't have that to escape to every night, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yes, I get that. I completely get that. And I'm not much of a fiction reader, and I don't know that you are either, but I love that historical fiction component, you know, where you can learn so much about someone's experience. I'm interested right now. It's a combination of racism and people in the margins, people who are minority, let's just say. I'm really interested in the experience of Black people. So I'm trying to wrap my brain around, let's just say, if you're a Black person living in a white neighborhood and you're going over to your friend's house and you can't get in, and how quickly the police will show up and you could lose your life, you know, and that's just reality. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know.
You know, that kind of thing. I feel like it doesn't matter that I don't believe that I'm racist or bigoted. It doesn't matter because our culture is. And I just have to figure out a way to have a better understanding. And I'm not saying I'm giving up on our culture or on humanity and that it can't happen, that we're all label-less, you know, or divided or classified in columns and groups and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, it just wouldn't occur to me to live that kind of life where I'd have to worry about my Black son going to the neighbor's house at night. Do you know what I'm saying?
I've heard enough Black people talk about it. And so for me, the best thing that I think I can do is just listen to them, make friends with them, listen to them, you know, and I mean, listen to their stories, listen to how they feel, ask them how they feel.
Exactly. And I kind of don't have the good fortune of having, here I am, you know, I don't have interaction with people of color where I am. It's very rare that I would even have people of color in the rooms because I'm living here on the prairie in Minnesota, you know.
You'd need to be in the city in Minneapolis.
Yeah, then I would have more opportunity to meet and become friends with people of color. So I'd understand their experience more.
That's one thing thing I really love about my online life is I can meet people from all over the world.
Yeah.
And have conversations with them.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It just does really make the world a lot more close, you know, connected, which is the big deal.
Yeah. And being able to read about other people's stories and experiences gives us the opportunity to understand things that otherwise would be inaccessible to us.
So getting back to this topic of books that you grieve, after you finish the book, you're kind of missing
it. Grieving. Things. Yeah, it's sad. It's like, please don't let it in.
Think of other books that have had that effect.
Oh, yes. Anne of Green Gables and Anne of Avonlea. They can't just drop us like that after they finally, Gilbert and Anne get together. They kiss on the bridge and it's over? I mean, what?
Oh, yes, I remember that ending now that you mentioned it.
Yes. And then, and Laura Ingalls Wilder, that whole 13-book series. And then the last book was written by her daughter, which was nothing like the first books. I was just pissed off. I wanted to hear about more of Almanzo and Laura. It was, it takes us like how many books, 10 books to even get to where they get together, you know? It's just like, I don't know. It's the love stories. Both of those are love stories about, you know, distance, propriety, and all that kind of stuff. And then they finally get to be married. I mean, those two broke my heart. I was just like, I gotta see how this all unfolds. Come on. Yeah, and then, of course, All the Light We Cannot See didn't unfold well, but that's how the whole point of that book is that the whole point of that book is that life does not unfold well, yeah. You know, and that happy endings are really for books and movies, you know, or fiction.
I mean,
very rare.
Happy in the classic sense, I guess, that we all grew up with if we were watching Walt Disney and reading Cinderella and...
Exactly. Yeah, that stuff doesn't exist in real life, which is why that book was... Oh, gosh. He just couldn't sew it up together and have those two meet again.
And then there's also this phenomena of after you finish a book by that, you say, well, I'll just read another book by that author. And then you read it and it's just, you
know. It's just not the same. You're right. You're
and
absolutely
Gilbert right. talks about that. And so does Austin Kleon. You know, it's like if you're an artist, there's all this pressure because you do this incredible thing for people, this gift. And then it's like, okay, do it again. Do it again.
Exactly. Oh, I read The Bridges of Madison County. And then I had to read, I mean, I could not put that book down. This was when I was in my 20s. And I loved that book so much, even though it was so controversial.
Yes.
I could not put that book down. I was sitting in mom and dad's rental house while they were building the lake home and in the Lazy Boy in a bedroom turned television room or something until like 2:30 in the morning. And I was single parenting at the time. Maddie was with me and I'm just like, why am I still reading this book? The child's going to be up in like 2 hours, you know?
You just read it straight through. Is that what you did?
Just read it straight through. I could not put that book down. And I was just, of course, sobbing my guts out. And I had a total emotional hangover the next day, but I couldn't stand it. I just had to find, back in those days, we didn't have the internet. I was just like, I had to go to the bookstore and say, what else you got by Robert Waller? You know?
I know.
There was nothing. There was just a collection of short stories called Something by the Campfire. And it was just like, this is not it. I don't want to read this. I want another romance. I want another, like, you know, like She Did the Right Thing story or The Wrong Thing Then the Right Thing or whatever.
Or just take me away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, the grieving of the book when it's over. That's rough. That is just like, it's a letdown.
I think it might be fun for us to make a list of those books that have done that for us.
Yeah, perhaps. Although I'm not very well read, and certainly in terms of fiction, I hardly have read any fiction.
I don't think it has to be a big list, a long list, and it doesn't have to be a fancy list. And we probably have most of it together right now.
So let's do that for next time.
So thanks so much for joining me. It was a blast, as usual. Love you so much.
Yes. Love you.
Bye.
You've been listening to A Conversation with My Sister Kirsten. If you would like to hear more podcast episodes, please send us some encouragement by leaving a review at iTunes or sending a note through my website, conversationswithkate.net. From there, you can also connect via Facebook or Instagram. After 1 year, I'm evaluating the future of the podcast. Feedback from listeners is an important part of that process, so I hope I'll hear from you. To access podcast transcripts, please sign up for free lesson guides on my website. Thanks to Aaron Burdett for our music. This is Kate. Remember that every day is a gift. I'm honored that you spent some of your precious time with me. Thank you for listening. Until next time.